So last Sunday we started our July teaching series, which is called Be Bold. And what we are doing through the month of July is we are taking a look at some of the Old Testament book of Daniel and seeing some of the things that are there. So last week we looked at chapter 1 and we were encouraged from chapter 1 to make bold choices. Though Daniel was in a foreign environment, he did not get sucked in to the culture of the day, but he still made choices that identified with his faith. And for you and I, living in a culture that is quite the opposite of a Christian culture, we need to make the brave choices, bold choices, that will identify us as people of faith. So we looked at that last week, make bold choices. And this morning I want to talk about praying bold prayers. Pray bold prayers. I'm going to be looking into Daniel chapter 2, and a big part, or the whole, really, the focus of Daniel chapter 2 is a dream. Now, I know some folks say, I've met folks who say, well, I never dream. And it's like, okay, whatever. And then there are other folks who've come to me from time to time and said, Roger, I have this recurring dream. What do you think it means? You know, and I'm torn between God speaking to you and lay off the pizza at night, you know? I'm not sure which way to go with it. But apparently there are a number of dreams that are like the most frequently occurring for people. And one of them is a common dream is the dream of falling, which apparently generally happens in the early stages of going to sleep. And they say that if you dream about falling, it means that there's something in your life that isn't going well just now. If there isn't something in your life that isn't going well just now, then God bless you. But anyway, that's falling. Now, if you dream about being chased, they say that means you're trying to avoid something in your daily life. And if you dream about taking a test, it means you've got an underlying fear of failure. If you dream of flying, I don't mean in a plane, I mean like Superman. If you dream of flying, they say it means you want to escape the realities of life. Oh, fly away, oh Lordy. All right, here's one then. If you dream about chocolate, oh, that never happened, please Lord, right? If you dream about chocolate, it means you are feeling that you should be rewarded. That sounds a good one, right? And let me just throw in there, if you dream that you need to go to the bathroom, you're not dreaming, get up and go. Trust me, at my age, I know these things. So the focus of Daniel chapter 2 is a dream. Let me get to the actual story itself. Daniel 2 and the first three verses. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he couldn't sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. You'll notice from there, it wasn't just the last bit. He said, I want to know what the dream means. But the fact is, he told them that he wanted them to tell him what he had dreamed. Now, whether that means like that he'd woken up disturbed, but he couldn't remember what the dream was that caused him to be disturbed, or maybe he was trying these astrologers and their buddies, and you know, so that they didn't just sell him any old line, he said, I want you to tell me the dream itself as well as the interpretation. So, Basically, they said, I don't know if I can do that. That's asking a lot from us. So verse 5, the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. Okay. But they said, it's impossible. There isn't anybody who could do that. Verse 12. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Wow. So here it is. Majesty, we can't do that. King says, okay, you know what I said? So he orders them all to be cut into pieces. And then word goes out and says, and don't forget, they're not here at the moment, but go get Daniel and his three buddies as well, because they're amongst the wise men in this kingdom, and go get them and put them to death as well. The tone in the palace was confusion. King didn't know what was going on, what his dream was. There was anger. He was annoyed with all these guys who were meant to be able to help him. And then, of course, there was fear. Because now it looked as if they were all going to lose their lives. Confusion, anger, and fear. And that, in my humble opinion, is a fairly apt description for much of life in the United States in 2025. Confusion, anger, and fear. We really do live in a world gone wrong. Which is why I subtitled this series, Series Is Be Bold, but it's Living Right in a World Gone Wrong. We live in a world that's gone wrong, where confusion, where anger, where fear seems so prevalent. And if you're not sure of that, just go to Facebook. Not now. I know some of you are probably scrolling Facebook just at this moment, but just stop it and listen for a bit. Go there. I joined Facebook, I think, in 07. I joined Facebook in 07 because I heard it was a great way to keep up with family and friends. And it's like, you're bombarded with all this stuff. And with all this negativity and with a lot of, you know, with a lot of stuff that's got real, you can sense the kind of the anger and the nastiness. And it's, you know what, I think a lot of what's in culture today comes out of how it is in social media, because people express stuff on social media they'd never say to somebody's face, but they say that some of the most awful things, and it's like, it's a terrible place to be. It really is. I just try to, you know, stay. I use Facebook to keep connected to family and friends, and that means all of you as well, because that's why, you know, I talk a lot about our church. Why? Well, I like it. I like our church, and it's a good thing if the pastor likes the church. Trust me, I know some guys. Anyway. Passing rapidly on. But that's the world we live in. We live in a world gone wrong. And that's why, you know, the Old Testament book of Daniel is relevant to us sitting here this Sunday morning where we are, because we can learn lessons from what happened there. And I want us to look at how Daniel reacted and responded to this situation. The king had sent out word, get Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and bring them with the other guys, cut them in pieces, destroy their homes. So what did Daniel do? Okay, let's look at the first thing we learn from Daniel's response. When we are faced by confusion, anger, and fear, number one, don't back off, move in. Don't back off, move in. Let me read you another couple of verses from Daniel 2. When Arioch, chief of the royal guards, was making arrangements for the execution, Daniel wisely took him aside and quietly asked him what was going on. Why this all of a sudden? After Arioch filled in the background, Daniel went to the king and asked for a little time so that he could interpret the dream. So here's Daniel, and he asked for a bit of the background, and he gets some of the background, and he realizes that Nebuchadnezzar's got a problem. He's got something that's really troubling him, and nobody seems to be able to help him, and that's why he's so angry. So what did Daniel do? He didn't run and hide because the king was after his life. He decided to step into the situation and say, I wonder if I could help you. Where there's confusion, anger, and fear in your world, be bold. Be bold. I don't mean, you know the phrase, I don't mean take a stand. I don't mean, say, you know what, I stand for God and I'm going to do this and that. Now, last week I said there are certainly a lot of situations you need to do that. But you know what? Two words from verse 14 are significant. It says, Daniel wisely took him aside and quietly asked. Wisely and quietly. Look to see where you can be a blessing, where there's confusion in front of you. Don't back off. Look to see where you can bring some light and life and hope into the situation. You see, the danger is, Daniel didn't take the position of, it looks like there's a target on my back. I'd better run for my life. He didn't do that. He apprised himself of the situation and said to the king, maybe I could help you. Is there some way that I could assist you and be a blessing to you? You know what? If you always see yourself as a target, you will never fulfill your God-intended role of being a transformer. I'll say it again because I thought it was good, all right? If you always see yourself as a target, a victim, you will never fulfill your God-intended role of being a transformer. That's what God intends us to do in this world gone wrong. He doesn't expect us to hide away. He doesn't expect us to avoid the wickedness or wicked people and do our best to like preserve ourselves and our lives. God intends us to be instruments of change in a world gone wrong. That's our purpose. That's our motivation. Otherwise, dear Lord, when I came to know Jesus, why didn't he just take me straight to heaven? He didn't take me straight to heaven because there's a purpose for me as long as God puts me on earth. And there's a purpose for every one of us who knows the Lord and belongs to him. As long as we are on this earth, there is a purpose. And our purpose is God wants us to be his instruments of change. So we don't back off, we move in. I love the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi that many of you will be familiar with, where he said this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. God, make me an instrument of your peace. Don't back off. Move in. Is there some way I can help you? Is there something that I can do for you? Daniel didn't come into Nebuchadnezzar and challenge his idolatry or his pagan ways. He didn't challenge his beliefs even. He didn't tell him he needed Jesus, but he better wait 600 years. He didn't do that. He said, Maybe I could help you. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says this: a gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. A gentle response diffuses anger. I'm not sure how old I was when I really learned that. It was probably in the second half of my life anyway. A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Daniel didn't go in and try to get in the king's face. That would have ended up in instant death without waiting for the executioner. He didn't do that. He came into the king's presence and said, "Your Majesty, can I help you? Can I assist you?" The book of Esther, which some of you will be familiar with in the Bible, is a fascinating book with a really remarkable story of a young Jewish woman who comes to be the bride of the king and the Persian king. And the king is stirred up against the Jewish people, and he orders that the Jewish people should be put to death. And Esther's uncle said to her, "You've got more influence in the palace than anybody else. Go in and talk to the king." Now, for anybody, including his wife, to have an audience with the king, you waited for an invitation. So the chances were that if she went in unannounced to plead with the king for her people, the chances were that she herself would be killed. And here's what her uncle said to her in Esther 4 and verse 14. He said this: "Who knows, maybe you have been chosen to be queen for such a time as this. Maybe you're here and you're in the position right now because God wanted you to be the person who makes a difference." And she did. And the whole story is in the book of Esther. But you'll see how the thing was turned around. And it started with Esther making the bold choice that she would go in uninvited to the presence of the king, and she would plead for her people. Who knows? Maybe you have been chosen by God, and where God's going to place you this week, where you're going to find yourself someplace tomorrow morning, you know, maybe you're there because God wants you to have an influence there that is going to turn things around. Or maybe it was something that arises in your home and within your family. Who knows? I want to encourage you this morning. Don't back off from troubling situations. Get alongside people who are struggling, because it's what we're here for. Is there some way that I can help you? Is there some way I can support you just now? Now, I can guarantee, because trust me, I've done it hundreds and thousands of times in my life. If you ask someone that question, I guarantee that 99% of them will say something like, "It's okay, I'll be all right." Right? Because that's what you do as well. Right? Somebody says, "Is there some way I can help you?" "No, don't worry, I'll be all right. It'll work out. I'll be all right." Okay, so you don't get put off from there. You go a step further. Right? And then you say, "All right, this is bold. All right, I'm going to kind of put something pretty heavy on you today, but you're up to it." Then you say, "So can I pray for you?" Or even better, "Can I pray with you?" And I will guarantee that the majority of people that you say, "Can I just pray with you?" will not say no. Now, they might not say it or show it, but they're going to be blown away because nobody ever offered to pray for them in their lives. Can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Now, feel the temperature. It might just be a case of saying, look, I'm going to pray for you. But when you say, I'm going to pray for you, don't do a social media praying for you, which really is because you don't know what to say. So you say praying for you, but you don't. Can I pray with you? Be bold. Don't back off. Move in. Daniel said, give me a bit of time. Give me a bit of time. When you are faced with confusion, anger, and fear, number one, don't back off. Move in. Number two, don't panic. Pray. Pray. Be bold. Offer to pray for people's situations. Offer to pray with them. Commit to praying for them. Now, let me say this. If you're going to pray for someone, now, forgive me, don't take offense if I, well, whatever. Look, if you say to someone, can I pray for you? There's no need to hold hands, speak in tongues, get excited, be loud, speak in fluent Christianese. There's no need. Make it short, make it simple, make it sincere. Some of you might say, well, I don't know what I'd say. Yes, you do. Just from your heart, a sentence or two. Lord, you see, whoever. And they really need your help today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them and you'd guide them and you'd bring resolution to this. Lord, bless them. Amen. Right? Doesn't have to be. Now you may think that would be really weird thing to do. No, it's not weird. It's a bold thing to do. Be bold. Be bold. Living right in a world gone wrong means we don't back off and hide in a corner. It means we take opportunities that present themselves to represent Jesus. I want to encourage you this week. Look for an opportunity to let someone know that you care. And offer to pray with them, or at the very least, for them. Be bold. Be bold. So here's what Daniel has said to the king. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or I don't know if that's diviner or diviner. It's weirdo, right? These things are all, these things are all off the wall. So none of these can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. Look at this next bit. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. There is a God in heaven who can answer people's prayers. There's a God in heaven who can meet people's needs. And that's probably the last place they'd think to go to. They'll go to all kinds of strange and wonderful resources to try to get an answer or try to find a solution. But we need to actually let folks know that there is a God in heaven who can meet your need. There is a God in heaven who answers prayer. You know that. I know that. They don't know that. They will never know that unless we let them know. Amen. There's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. There's a God in heaven who can calm life storms, heal sick bodies, comfort grieving hearts, do things that seem impossible. Luke 18, 27 reminds us of that. What is impossible with man is possible with God. But they don't know that unless we tell them. What is impossible with man is possible with God. I like the way the Living Bible paraphrases that, actually, where it simply says this: God can do what men can. Listen, God can do it. Nobody seems to be able to find a solution. Nobody seems to help me. Hey, great introduction for you here. Be bold. God can do what men can. Can I pray for you? Could I pray with you? God can do what men can't. So Daniel goes away and he prays. I mean, this guy's praying a really bold prayer. He's saying, God, give me the answer and give me something, because you know what? My life depends on it. My closest buddies' lives depend on it. And so do all these people who really, I don't believe what they believe and like the things they do. But they're all the magicians and the sorcerers and Lord knows what. But I don't want them to die. Lord, give me the answer. And he comes back to King Nebuchadnezzar and he says, so here was your dream. You saw a huge statue. And the statue, the head of the statue was made out of gold. The breast and the arms were made out of silver. The belly and the thighs were made out of brass. The legs were made of iron. And the feet were a mixture of iron and clay. Okay, that was the dream. So Daniel, tell me what that dream signifies. So Daniel tells him. Daniel says, the head of gold is you. It's your empire, the Babylonian Empire. But actually, there will be other empires that come after you, and they are lesser than you are. Until ultimately, a stone will come and smash into the feet of iron and clay. And they will smash the feet, and the whole thing will be demolished and crumble. And that stone, said Daniel, will build into a mountain that covers the whole earth, and it represents the kingdom of God. So he says, there are going to be all these kingdoms. Yours is at the top just now. There'll be other empires and kingdoms that come after you. But you know what? There's going to come a day when the most unsuspecting thing comes along and demolishes all these earthly kingdoms and establishes the eternal kingdom of God. That's the dream. That's the interpretation of the dream. Now, thank God. That's where we're headed. That's where history is going. History is moving towards the time when God's kingdom is all there is and earthly kingdoms have been done away with. Now for those of you that have been around some church circles for a long time, you will know that there are people who take great delight in really digging into the significance of this vision, this statue, as you know, going incredibly detailed. And they'll tell you there was the Babylonian Empire, there was the Medo-Persian Empire from this year to that year, whatever it was. There was the Greek Empire, there was the Roman Empire, and then after the Roman Empire, they'll tell you that there are going to be 10 particular kings who come along, and then eventually they will give way to Jesus coming in. And they'll tell you fascinating stuff about that. When I was a teenager, we had a guy come to our church, and you know, our pastor said to me and said, "Don't miss this. This guy's coming in. He's preaching every night for a week about the second coming of Jesus." I thought, "Wow, this is fantastic. Bible teaches Jesus will come again. This is fabulous." And he went into all this detail night after night after night after night. And by the end of the week, I was terrified. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? If you've got a doctrine of the last day that scares the pants off you, something's upside down. It really is. And this guy who was in our church when I was a teenager, you know, there was talk then about the UK joining the European Economic Community. It's called the Common Market back in those days. And he's preaching and he's saying the 10 toes in the book of Daniel, they represent 10 nations, and with that 10 nation alliance will be the one that actually means the end has come. And when that number, and he says that alliance is the EEC, and there are seven countries, there were eight countries in it just then. And he said if the UK joins, that's 9, which means we're just a whisper away from the end of everything. Britain must not join the EEC. And I sucked it all in as a teenager. And I'm thinking, did Daniel really know anything about the European Economic Community? And if like it reaching 10 members means the end of everything, isn't that a good thing? Isn't it? I mean, when Jesus comes again, isn't it good? Now, I know there's all kinds of things the Bible talks about happening in last days stuff, but you know what? I don't care about any of them. I just care that Jesus is coming back. And you know what? He's kept me safe this far, and I think he'll keep me all the way. That's kind of where I come from. I mean, I know my end times doctrine is very simple, but it is. I like to focus on these times and today and where we're at this Sunday morning. And by the way, there are 27 countries in the European Economic Community now, so I guess disaster didn't come and they got that one wrong. The whole point of Daniel 2 is not so much trying to interpret every detail of Nebuchadnezzar's dream again. Daniel just gave him the bones, and that's what we've got, so let's stick with it. The point of Daniel chapter 2 is this. When you're in a foreign culture, when you're living in a world gone wrong, and you encounter people who are angry and confused, and when you've got people around you who are afraid and fear for their lives, stand up boldly and remind them, God can do hard things. God can do impossible things. And I just want to remind you today as well, for folks who maybe are in your family circle or in your work environment or friends, I want to tell you this, God can change hard hearts. Pray bold prayers. God can answer difficult prayers. Pray them. All he needs is someone who will care enough to offer to pray. When faced with an insurmountable object, don't panic, pray. Pray bold prayers. And then thirdly, don't worry. Just wait. The king was going to get Daniel and his friends, and they were going to be hacked to pieces. I mean, not something, you know, not like an injection in their arm and they're gone. They were going to be hacked to pieces. But God took care of it when Daniel stood out and said to the king, maybe I can help you. Because the chapter that starts with this threat of death for all the king's astrologers and their friends, and for Daniel and his particular friends, ends on a totally different note. Daniel tells him his dream, tells him the interpretation of the dream. Then look at verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. Nebuchadnezzar was totally turned around. This pagan king turns around. He says, your God's God of all gods. Your God is the God. Your God is the real thing. And the whole situation was changed because Daniel lived right in a world gone wrong. And he didn't back off, but he boldly inserted himself into the woes of others and said, is there some way I can help? Let me pray. Is there something I can do? Let me pray. He didn't back off. He moved in. He didn't panic. He prayed. He didn't worry. He just waited. And God changed the whole situation, doing more than he could ever have imagined. So let me wrap things up with this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. The words of Jesus for you and me. You are the light that shines for the world to see. You are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't hide a lamp under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand. Then the light shines for everyone in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. You should be a light for other people. That's what God wants us to do. Be bold. Pray bold things. Pray for those that are in need. Get alongside of them and ask if there's some way that you can help. And finally, Henry Stanley was a British American journalist who went to Africa to try to find the missionary explorer David Livingstone, who had gone there years before. And basically, he wanted to get the story of what Livingstone was up to in Africa. And here's what Henry Stanley said once. I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. But there came for me a long time for reflection. I saw this solitary old man there and asked myself, how on earth does he come to a place like this? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him so? For months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible. Leave all things and follow me. But little by little, his sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went about his business, I became a Christian at his side, though he uttered not a word. Henry Stanley says, I became a Christian, not because of anything that Livingstone said to him, but because of what he saw in the life of David Livingstone. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bowl. Be bold. Live right in this world gone wrong. Amen. Let's pray together, please. Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that you really are a God who answers prayer. And a God who can do the impossible. And Lord, I pray you'd give us a boldness. Lord, through this week, give us opportunities to come alongside someone, to ask if we can help, to offer to pray, to make a difference in our world. God, deliver us from a victim mentality, which means we hide our faith in a corner. And help us to be your instruments of change, of your love, your hands reaching out to others, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand.